When young Werther first arrives in the idyllic German countryside in May 1771, his letters to his friend Wilhelm overflow with exuberance. Having fled a complicated romantic entanglement, he finds himself intoxicated by the natural world around him. Lying in tall grass beside a brook, he becomes acutely aware of the teeming microscopic world and feels the presence of the Almighty in every blade and beetle. His artistic soul longs desperately to capture this fullness on paper, yet he finds himself too absorbed in nature's beauty to draw, a paradox that reveals his fundamental character. Werther feels too deeply to translate emotion into productive action. Unlike the aristocrats he'll later encounter, Werther befriends local peasants and children, helping a servant girl with her water pitcher and noting with disdain how people of standing keep coldly distant from commoners. His democratic spirit and emotional intensity mark him as different, a man out of step with his time, yet somehow ahead of it. These early letters establish not just Werther's character, but the novel's revolutionary spirit, challenging the rigid class structures of 18th-century Germany through the eyes of a man who values authenticity above all else. At a country ball, Werther meets Charlotte Bufflade, a spirited young woman caring for her siblings after their mother's death. During a thunderstorm, Lotte distracts frightened guests with games. Standing by a window watching the rain, she utters Klopstock, referencing the German poet who celebrated nature's power. In this moment, Werther recognizes a kindred spirit sharing his emotional sensibility. Later, Werther discovers the devastating truth. Lotte is engaged to Albert, a dear, honest man away on business. His passion becomes a forbidden love he cannot abandon. What makes this story compelling is its psychological authenticity. Werther loves Lotta's concrete humanity, how she cuts bread for siblings, plays piano, and manages her household. His love encompasses both mind and body, making his inability to possess her agonizing. Have you ever recognized someone as your emotional twin in just a moment? Werther's experience shows how powerful such recognition can be, and how devastating when circumstances make that connection impossible. Albert's return transforms the novel's emotional landscape. Rather than a villain, he proves decent and tolerant toward Werther. The three form an uneasy friendship that Goethe calls a genuine German idol. They take walks and discuss philosophy while tension builds beneath. Their worldviews clash during a crucial conversation about suicide. Albert condemns it as moral weakness, while Werther defends those driven to it by suffering. This debate foreshadows the novel's conclusion and highlights their opposing perspectives. Lotte occupies the middle ground, sharing Werther's sensitivity yet remaining committed to Albert and social convention. When she first calls him Dear Werther, he repeats it 100 times, treasuring any sign of affection. This triangle torments all three. Albert grows uncomfortable with Werther's obvious devotion to his fiancée. Lotte feels torn between her promise and her affection for Werther. And Werther, unable to possess Lotte yet unwilling to leave, exists in exquisite torment, writing, "Without her, everything is nothing." Seeking escape from his impossible love, Werther accepts a diplomatic position at a small German court, where he encounters suffocating hierarchy. He despises those who waste years maneuvering for higher positions at dinner tables while important matters pile up unattended. His sensitivity to nature makes him intolerant of social hypocrisy. Werther clashes with his ambassador, who obsesses over precise particles in writing while missing what matters. His humiliation peaks at an aristocratic gathering where, forgetting my inferior station, he remains until nobles' contemptuous looks prompt Count C to dismiss him, an incident his enemies celebrate throughout town. This represents Goethe's critique of pre-revolutionary European society, rigid class distinctions, and petty power games. Yet Werther's failure stems not only from social injustice, but his temperamental limitations. He lacks patience for incremental change and self-discipline, resigning because he cannot bear the situation longer. Must sensitive souls sacrifice authenticity to function in society? This question remains as powerful today as in Goethe's time. Upon returning to Lotze's vicinity, Werther finds his perception of nature fundamentally changed. Landscapes that once filled him with joy now mirror his inner despair. That overwhelming feeling for nature that made the world a paradise, he writes, has become unbearable. Where he once saw life thriving, he now perceives only transience and corrosive power. This transformation reveals how our emotional state colors perception. The natural world remains unchanged. Werther has changed. Mountains and chasms become metaphors for his internal terrain, with nature appearing as a devouring, regurgitating monster rather than a nurturing mother. Werther's melancholy manifests physically through sleeplessness, disinterest in drawing, and emotional numbness. Most poignantly, he loses the capacity for tears. My heart is dead, my eyes dry, and my senses no longer refreshed by tears. He prays for tears like a farmer praying for rain when heaven is brass and earth parched, desperately needing emotional release. Werther encounters Heinrich, a former madhouse patient, who recalls his time in madness as when he was happy and contented, prompting Werther to wonder if happiness exists only before reason or after losing it. Heinrich, driven mad by unrequited love for Lotte, mirroring Werther's own situation, serve as a foreboding parallel. The novel challenges Enlightenment's faith in reason. When discussing suicide with Albert, Werther argues that abstract moral principles fail against unbearable suffering. You cannot be saved, unfortunate man. I well see that we cannot be saved. Religion provides no solace either. When faith is suggested as comfort, Werther responds, I don't pretend the cup of bitterness tastes sweet, nor feel ashamed when my entire self trembles on the edge of being and not being. The novel climaxes when Werther visits Lotte on a stormy pre-Christmas evening. Alone together, they read Ossian's melancholy poetry. Overcome by emotion, Werther collapses before Lotte in despair, seizing her hands and covering her trembling lips with fiery kisses. Lotte flees to the adjoining room and locks the door. This moment represents the eruption of repressed desire after months of supposed platonic friendship. While Lotte remains committed to her marriage despite her conflicted feelings, Werther interprets their emotional connection as confirmation of their destined bond. Afterward, Werther resolves to end his life. He borrows Albert's pistols for a journey, a bitter irony as the husband unwittingly provides the means for his rival suicide. At midnight, Werther shoots himself above the right eye. His suicide functions as both escape and protest. Albert couldn't bear to attend the burial, while fears were held for Lotte's life. No priest attends, highlighting Werther's isolation from conventional society. In our era of mental health awareness, Werther's story serves as both warning and window into profound depression.